Radhara Sudhanidhi ki jai. Sripad Prabodhananda Saraswati ki jai. Tungavidyasakhi ki jai. Manjari Bhav, the title of this series of lectures is Manjari Bhav, the Bhav, the mood, the love of Manjaris, Radhika's surrendered maidservants, their sevas, their aspirations, or those that are sadhakas, and the siddha saints, like Prabodhananda Saraswati, Sri Rupa Goswami, Pad Vishwanath, and of course Raghunath Das Goswami, and their various prayers and prarthanas, and stavavali, stavamala. They're guiding us in our thinking, they're guiding us in our aspirations, and they're guiding us in our prayers. Because the substance of their prayers is their teaching bhav, they're teaching ras, they're teaching lila tattva, rasa tattva, but most importantly, they're teaching sadhana tattva, sadhana sadhya tattva. The practice of Raghunuga sadhana, bhakti, for those that have some ruchi for that, not to be confused with a rather exalted state of development in bhakti after nishtha, which is ruchi. And Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, in discussing Raghunuga Bhakti section of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in the Purva Vibhag, Eastern Division, in the Pratam Lahiri, maybe first wave or second wave. He's saying that when one sees murtis of Krishna with his associates, say Krishna and Balaram or Radhasham and Sakiras and Madhuriras, and he hears someone give classes about them, or he maybe meets some sadhu or saintly lady for that matter, and they're very excited and talking a lot about Krishna and Balaram in the coward voice. I know people, devotees like that, even one of my godbrothers. Or someone's talking about Radha and Krishna's pastimes, and of course in Vrindavan we tend to hear these type of subjects. The ladies sit on this side. Actually, I have to reverse it tomorrow because I have the polarities wrong. The ladies are supposed to be there. At any rate, tomorrow you'll shift over there. I was thinking from my viewpoint, because the lady is always on the left side of men. And Indian pravachan, India as it was, not as it is today, but as it was and still can be and is in some places a wonderful, scientific, systematic, full of feeling, full of fulfillment, satisfaction, and provides the highest attainment for everyone involved in the traditional culture of Sanatana Dharma of India, but that's unfortunately basically disappeared. But at any rate, that being said, there's a system to hearing a class, and there's a system to giving a class and attending class. So if you've seen, which I have, and maybe they do in other places, but definitely in India, whenever there's a pravachan, if you go into the hall, the ladies there'll be a division, the men on one side generally, and ladies on the other side. So the side is specific. It's specific according to Shastra. There's a Shastra dictate or rule about that in order to balance the Vastu. The Vastu, the energy is generated by the two genders. There's a certain polarity of gender and male and female, and everyone's well aware of that without much description of that. So the woman, when she's positioned on the left side of man, or the junior person, if it's a father and son or elder brother and younger brother, the junior is always on the left-hand side. That is their place. And that balances the Vastu, the Vastu of the world, the Vastu of each other, the space. Vastu means space, energy, balance. And then one's mind becomes balanced. It's very important. They say that in the Bible, that's their holy book they have, the Christian people and Jewish people, and they say that woman was born from the left side of someone, whoever, I don't know, Adam or someone. They have their description of creation. And it's quite correct. Shakti, Shaktiman. Everywhere it's Sita's there, Lakshmi's there, Radharani's there, Krishna's there, and Dao is there. Dao is his elder brother. Dao means elder brother. Respected elder brother is Daoji, Balaram. He's on his right-hand side. Gauranga Mahaprabhu on his right-hand side is, well, he's usually in the middle, and when I have three, and then I'd wait to be on the left and Nityananda on the right. Or usually it's Nityananda's on the right-hand side of Gauranga. Yes?
Yeah.
So why? Everything has a reason. In Indian culture, there's cause and effect. There's a reason. But in modern culture, it doesn't make sense. People are acting crazy. And it's not beyond logic and beyond sense. At any rate, so that's tomorrow. So we're discussing this verse 40. We're continuing. And it's a very beautiful verse. And this different verses have words which indicate the maidservants of Radharani. Although the word Manjari, which is the general vernacular we're aware of, is hardly, I don't think, maybe once or not even mentioned in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's a rather hidden word. And Raghunath Das Goswami often mentions, in fact, his name is Tulsi Manjari. So that name is there. But you won't find the word Manjari very much, but you'll find Kinkari and Dasi. So here in these verses where it's saying Kaikarnyam and Paricharika and Anucharani and Dasi, then that, of course, indicates the Manjaris. So this verse yesterday, we'll chant it and continue studying it. It discusses the topic of Radha's maid service birth after birth. It sounds a little familiar. I think all of us know the Shikshastakam quite well, or at least we hope we do. And one of the verses, number 4, is a rather difficult one to attain to. Bhaktivinod Thakur equated that verse with the level of spiritual attainment or advancement. That was his vision. Other acharyas haven't mentioned this idea, but he had this rather innovative and interesting point to make about these verses, and there's an entire book about all this called Bhajan Rahasyam. And we gave classes on every verse of that book, every Kartik throughout the years, and the entire book is on lectures are there on our MNS audio thing. But at any rate, he opened a very interesting ideas about these Shikshastakam. So he says, Nadanam Najanam Nasundaram. This verse represents Ruchi. When one passes through an artha nivritti and goes through nishta and comes to ruchi, which then leads to a sakti, bhav, and prem, it's the midway point. Actually, nishta is the midway point. But when you enter the stage of ruchi, which is clearly and amazingly defined by Vishnu Chakravartipad and Madhurya Kadambini, then you can see, I have so much taste for Krishna. I have so much taste for chanting. I really love to chant. I love to take darshan. I love to read. I never fall asleep when I read. I never fall asleep in a class. And I have so much ruchi. Then you look at the definition, then you might say, oh, Vishwanath, there's a very strict definition here. And this lakshana, the guna and lakshana, the qualities and characteristics of one in ruchi, you seem to be making a very high description here. And I really want to think of myself on that level, but you're trying to put me back down in the level of nishta. Then if I look at nishta and see the characteristics and qualities and symptoms of a nishtita bhakta, then I'll say, well, I'm not that big after all. I've been 10 years in the movement and chanting Hare Krishna. I thought it was really big. I have a Brahmin thread and, I'm a smart guy. Lead nice kirtan and, people like my class. but then Vishnath Chakravarti he says thumbs down. He doesn't give me a thumbs up on my Facebook, on my bhakti book, my bhakti account book. He says that, no thanks. No share. I'm not going to share. So this is the hard truth. The book is in Hindi and Russian and English. So you can face the truth if you want to. But as they say, where ignorance is bliss, it's folly to be wise. So I don't want to hurt anyone's feelings. And so please, let me do something like Rupa Goswami. I warn you, if you want to understand how big you really are in bhakti, then don't read Madhurya Kadambini. Who's read it? Raise your hand. You read? You study? Little. Kitchu. Alpa. It's a very wonderful commentary. It's also in Hindi and English. Because, of course, all Shastra needs commentary. Either you sit with somebody and they tell you, I know that from Jiva Institute, Satyanarayan has gone through the book and given lots of tapes and lectures on Madhurya Kadambini, and highly scholarly and realized, and they're in English for sure. I heard them years ago, and they're very good for those that like to hear. And then the Mahant of Sri Radhakund, Srila Anantadas Babaji Maharaj, he's a great Vrasik Jan. So he's published this book, and it's been translated in English, the Madhurya Kadambini, with very extensive and clear commentaries. I read Kushakrata Prabhu's translation, my godbrother, and I read Bhanu Maharaj's translation. I also read Dinabandhu Das. He translated it years ago with one Babaji, Akinchan Das. Dinabandhu from Vrindavan, my godbrother. And all three of them, they're very good, but it's only translation. So without commentary. Anyway, that's a side point. So this is the verse about Radha's maidservant birth after birth. And I said, we all know the Shikshastakam. And there it's about Ruchi. That's what Bhaktivinoda says. Nadanam Najanam. Sundaram Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamiye Mama Janmani Janmani Shri Bhavatat Bhaktir Haitukiti. He says, Mama Janmani Janmani. He says, birth after birth. He's saying it's Mahaprabhu, it's Antya Leela, it's Puri, it's in Gambhir Leela, it's the last 2 or 3 years or 1 year of his Prakat Leela on this planet, Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He was 24 years in Puri and Sannyas time, and 6 years he was traveling to and from Puri, and then he stayed 18 years in Puri. Then the last 6 years were the Gambhir Leela. He was always staying in Gambhir, but he was often coming out. He was coming out for kirtan, coming out for darshan. But in the later 5-6 years, Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, was spending so much time in Gambhira alone, or, of course, his servant Govinda was there, and Rai Ramananda and Swarup Damodar Goswami, Alita Vishaka. And he was going deep into his mood of viraha, viyog, Krishna viyog, deeply, deeply experienced. He heard so much about it, about Radharani's love, and he had received so many teachings from Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda, and heard so many bhajans being sung by Swarup Damodar, Chandidas bhajans, and Vidyapati's bhajans, and even King Prataparudra entered deep into the heart and mood of Mahaprabhu, and he wrote Jagannath Vallabha Natakam to offer to Mahaprabhu, to also encourage his bhav, his madhurya bhav, his viraha bhav. And then those songs, and then Krishna, then Rai Ramananda was discussing the Krishna Karanamrita verses plus his own teachings, and Rai Ramananda Samvad. So collecting all this shikana, shiksha, and teachings, then finally he had heard from so many, and then finally he was experiencing it all in anubhav. There's gyan and vigyan. He received all this knowledge. Then he started realizing it and going in intense states of separation and lamentation, and crying and rubbing. Gauranga is rubbing his face in the wall, and he's literally running out at 2 o'clock in the morning in the middle of the Ras Leela time, and leaving the Gambhira through all the locked doors and climbing the walls, the 20-foot-high walls, the 25-feet-high walls of the Jagannath Mandir, Sri Mandir in Puri. Shyam Sundar, Prashendra Nandan, Kotai, where are you? I can't live without you. And then collapsing on the wall, and the cows would come and were licking his body. So much nectar was there, and so much bliss just at a momentary touch of Lord Chaitanya's body, and one's hair will stand on end, and the cows are crying, and all their ears are just pointed toward Gauranga, because they understood this is our Lord, and they're Krishna's cows. Wherever Krishna goes, his cows go too. So Krishna came to enter the form of Gauranga, so the cows came. The cows are in Mayapur, the cows are in Navadvipa. So these types of experiences he's having, so in that mood of separation, he's praying in the fourth verse of Shikshastakam, "Oh Shamsundar, oh Jagadish," he says, "Mama Janmani Janmani Ishvari." He says, "Birth after birth, you're my Ishvara, you're my Paramishvara, my Prananath. I want to serve you birth after birth." So who's that I? The I speaking there, although the prayer is written by Gauranga Mahaprabhu in chapter 20 of the Antya Lila and Chaitanya Charitamrita. The prayer is being spoken by Radharani. He's in Radhabhav, Rasaraj Mahabhav, Surupini Radha. So now he's totally immersed and absorbed in Radharani's Divyonmad Mahabhav. So then in that mood, in that feeling, in that intensity of separation, then out comes Chaito Darpita Marjanam Bhava Mahadav Agni. So this prayer is such intensity. So Radharani is praying, birth after birth, I want the seva of Krishna, Jagadish, Parameshwara, my Lord, my Swami, my Master. So that's the prayer of Radharani. But now the Manjaris and the sadhakas are not trying to become Radharani or enter into her heart or take her bhav or mahabhav like Mahaprabhu. They're trying to become the servants of Radharani. Radharani is the one and only best servant of Krishna, Jagadish Ishvara. In the verse, "Mama Janmani Janmani," saying birth after birth. But Prabhupada Saraswati is saying here, Radharani, he's saying the same thing. Kaikarnya mama janmani janmani syat. Kaikarnya means kinkari, manjari. Kaikarnya, we'll get to that, but it's very nice. Kaikarnya mama janmani janmani. Mama janmani janmani, same thing. Probably, obviously, Prabhupada Saraswati took this line from the Shikshastakam, which was written first before this book. This book is written in Vrindavan later by his Bhajan Kutir. Behind Kaliya, Daha. There's his kutir and samadhi is there, Prabhupada Saraswati. So this is so that's why the title of this verse is Radharani's maid service, Radharani's service forever. Radha's service forever. We're trying in this life as sadhakas, and we'll try in our next life as sadhakas, and maybe we tried in our last life as sadhakas. And then we'll continue to try until we finally attain the goal, which of course is not so easy. So this verse, that's the title, and then there's 3 points that are discussed here. One is aspiration for Radha's eternal seva. And then it also reveals the transcendental qualities of Radha and Krishna, their divine qualities. And then also the rarity of attaining that desired seva of Radharani that one may want. Here's the verse. Tasya para rasa sara vilasa murtir. We discussed that line yesterday. Para rasa sara vilasa murtir. Ananda kanda paramadbhuta saumya lakshmiyai. Brahmadi durgamagater vishabhano jaya. Kai karnya meva mama janmani janmani syat. So this line we're discussing today is Ananda kanda paramadbhuta saumya lakshmi. Point we mentioned yesterday is that these first two lines, these charapada, the 4 lines of this verse, every line, it's called a yugal, at least I call it, a yugal shloka, because there's two persons involved here, and the two personalities. First and second line is Radha and Krishna, the third line is the devas, the devatas, and Radharani, and the fourth line is Radharani and the sadhakas. So the main star here is Radharani, because the book is Radharasura Nidhi. So naturally, it's going to be all about that ocean of nectar ecstatic rasas of Radharani's seva and her glories and name and form, etc., which we've discussed in other classes on Radharasa Sudhanidhi. But this is about Manjari Bhav. So you'll find everywhere Radha and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, Radha the Devatas, and Radha and the Sadakas. So it comes down, I guess, finally the Devas are on line 3 and the Sadakas are on line 4. Because he's not so little dasana das. So that, I think everyone knows about this Ananda Kanda Bhagavan. And of course, in the Bhagavat, Indian Bhagavatam classes, whenever someone speaks, Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki Jai. This is a very common thing. It means, Ananda Kanda means, unbroken bliss. You know, like we say, Akanda Kirtan. No, Akanda, and that's a different thing. Kanda means what?
Sweet.
Sweet. So there's even a type of candy like that called Kanda or something. Ananda Kanda, so sweet bliss. Krishna's a Madhurya Purushottam. He's definitely Ananda Kanda Bhagavan. He's like a murti made of mystery, of sugar candy. Wherever you lick the murti, you'll get sweet. He's Leela Madhurya, Prema Madhurya, Vena Madhurya, and Rupa Madhurya. Oh, he's sweet from top to bottom. His dealings are sweet. What to speak of our Acharya, Vallabhacharya, Vallabhacharya, that famous song, everyone does their own version of that song. Be interesting to hear how he would sing it. Vallabhacharya. Madhuradi, Madhurada Pater, how's it go? Akilam Madhurada? Madhurada. Madharam, yeah, Madhurada Pater, I forget. Anyway, you know the song. It says, Leela Madhura, Venu Madhura, Yamuna Madhura, Galitam Madharam, Smitam Madharam. You're walking Galitam, your walking is sweet. Your Hasitam, your laughing is sweet. Your Chalitam, your moving is sweet. Everything. Madharadi Pater Akilam Madharam. Madharadi Pater Akilam Madharam. Akilam means universal, unlimited sweetness, unlimited universal sweetness. And everything, you analyze it, you must have, Madhuradi Pater Akilam Madhuram. Like this, and it says, you know, Venu Madhura, Yamuna Madhura, your Yamuna is sweet, Gaya Madhura, your cows are sweet, your Yamuna is sweet, your Braj is sweet, your dealings are sweet. Then it says, Shristi Madhura, Pralaya Madhura, your creation is sweet, Shristi Madhura, your destruction. It's okay, it's nice, you know, you create a love affair, or you create a marriage, or you create anything. It's nice creation, but destruction, destroy a relationship, or destroy a friendship, or it's usually kind of negative. So he's suffering the eyes of the Premi Bhakti. He says, oh, it's very nice. Your creation is very sweet. And your destruction is very sweet, too. Pralaya, Madhura, very sweet. Some husband may say that if he ever gets free from his wife. You're married? Good luck. Good luck. Hope for the best. Just dive in, find out what happens. Everyone has to take the dive, so don't be afraid. You'll survive. Look, there's 8 billion people in the world. Everyone's surviving and everyone's married. Seems to work, does some kind of work. So we heard Ananda Kanda Bhagavan. So there's, we glorify Lord Chaitanya in that song, Ananda Kanda. So this process, Prabhupada used to say this process. Parama, what is that? Parama Karuna? Parama Karuna, Pahundui Jana, Nitai Gora Chandra. How's it go? Kevala Ananda Kanda. He says, some one line there. You know that bhajan? Kevala Ananda Kanda. Prabhupada, in his purport, Prabhupada says, this process of chanting and dancing is simply blissful. It's just blissful. And so now this is description here, Ananda Kanda Parama Bhuta Somi Lakshmi. So obviously Lakshmi, that indicates the feminine, or Radharani. And then Ananda Kanda is the Bhagavan, Paramadbhut. So in the commentaries it says Krishna is the form, Anandakanda Paramadbhut. He's the very form of all transcendental bliss. In Braj, the Bhagavatam speakers often say, have you heard Anandakanda Bhagavan Ki Jai? So there's a Leela, there's some Leela here that's mentioned in the purport here. This is very nice. Once in Yavat, and I've heard it told many, many ways in different ways also. Once in Yavat, where Radharani was staying with her mother-in-law, Jatila, and her sister-in-law, Kutila, and two brothers-in-law, her brother-in-law, Durmad, and her so-called husband, Ayan Ghosh, we know as Abhimanyu, but in Bengali they say Ayan Ghosh. And they were all there, and they're not so favorable to Radharani's meeting with Krishna, as you well know. So once Krishna thought, well, I can't, you know, Radharani's been locked up in the house, so somehow I have to see her or I have to talk to her, any kind of association. If I don't have some association with Radharani tonight, I just won't sleep. I'll cry all night. And my mother will wonder why I'm crying and make a big disturbance. So Krishna ran away for the usual Abhisar and Sanket Kunj for the Rasa dance. He left Nandagram at 10:30, 11 in the night. But there wasn't any Sanket Kunj. There wasn't any place appointed to meet because the information was already given by Vrindadevi that Radharani was grounded. She would be locked in the house, couldn't go out, by her nasty mother-in-law. Usually mother-in-laws are that way. Nasty. So somehow Krishna went. Anyway, she's right here because it's not very far from Nandagram to Yavat. That's also very convenient. Actually, Yavat is closer than Barsana. It's right across the field. Radharani walks every morning to cook Krishna's breakfast. Around 6:30 in the morning, she walks from Yavat to Nandagram. She passes through Terakadamba. I'm sure everyone's visited Terakadamba. Rupa Goswami's bhajan stali. And that's a great place of Milan and Leela and Hasiras and so much. Imagine a pratam darshan of your most beloved Priyatam and Priyaji. Love at first sight and love at every first sight. Radha and Krishna's anurag, their intense anurag and intense loving attachment for each other. We say, you know, 40 years after we were married, and someone says, oh, how you got married? Oh, I was in college and somebody saw this lady or girl or woman, whatever. And I just saw her and it was love at first sight. I say, what do you think now? I say, well, not so much like that. It's a sight for sore eyes, I would say. No, I can't say that. But in Krishna's Leela, every time it's love at first sight and love at every sight. Every time that Radha sees Krishna, oh, her love grows by leaps and bounds. And every time Krishna sees Radha, his love grows by leaps and bounds. This is the nature of transcendental love, of alokik prem, divyan prem. It's divyanand and divya lila. It's transcendental. So it doesn't meet the same parameters and limitations of the material world because it's ananta. It's eternal and unlimited. Nitya and ananta. Nitya lila, ananta lila. So it's nitya ananta bhavam, ananta rasam, ananta namam. So this is a fact. Radharani is with Krishna in all afternoon at Radhakund. Then she leaves briefly to return to Yavat, Barsana, and immediately comes out on the path to greet Krishna. When Krishna is returning from the cows, Nutra goes to Leela around 5:30 in the evening. And she comes out with Lita Vishaka, Tulsi, Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, others. And when she sees, they see there, there's Krishna coming. Oh, there's Dao and Sridham and Subal and Gobata and Mandali, Bhadra and so many, Soka Krishna and Kinkini, and so many coward boys are going by. And then last is Krishna. And that's, of course, deliberate. But first the cows, then the boys, and then the supreme, the big boy, Krishna. So he's at the end. So then everyone goes by, and she says, where's Krishna, where's Krishna? And, no, he's coming, relax. And then Lita says, there he is. And she says, huh? What? That's not Krishna. He's a very beautiful boy, but I don't recognize. There's something I never seen. He's such a beautiful boy. Looks very much like Krishna, but some different person. And he says, "Are Saki, you just spent 6 long, intimate, beautiful hours with Krishna and Radhakun. Holy Leela. You played Holi and Banbihar and Marupan and Pashakela and Julan, and then you Jal Keli, and then Sukhsari Samvad and so many pastimes of wonderful joy and bliss and ecstasy with that person. That's your Priyatam, that's your Shamsundar, that's your Pyariju. No, it's not him. No, it is him." And then she, Radharani's in her Brahm, her Premri Brahm. She can't recognize. This is due to her Anurag. His love at first sight and love at every sight and a new love at every sight. This is amazing. At every moment. Because the nature of spirit is it expands. When you begin practicing spiritual life, do you stay in the same place for 500 lifetimes? I hope not. If you make offenses, you'll even go backwards. You'll go back 10 steps. So hopefully it's a steady progress to eternity, and then you enter eternity, and it's steadily progress. It's eternally expanding there. That's the attraction of it. That's the beauty of it. It's not stale. It's not hackneyed. There's no end point. There's no boredom. There's no, it's another rasa dance tonight. I mean, last night we had a rasa dance. Again, I mean, my legs are tired. I mean, I go to disco once a week, but every night to the disco, come on. I just can't do it. I mean, I love to dance, but not that much. But every night. Rasavihari. Rasavihari sham, sham, sham. So it goes on. Unending. Ever going. So this is Ananda Kanda. He's the... Anyway, this is Leela. Krishna says he can't wait, so he goes to Yavat. And he's hiding at night, pitch black, Amavasya, and he's hiding in the courtyard of Radharani's palace in Yavat. And then he's very much afraid of Chatila. It's like he's a young boy. He's not some grown man like Rambo or something. He's just a young boy, or whatever, whoever the superheroes are. You know. Highly dated, but he's a young boy. He's only 10 years old. At the last moment, I mean, not last moment, but before he went to Mathura, he was 10 years and 6 months old. They said he left Vrindavan when he was 11. They rounded off to 11. So young boys are very much afraid of ugly women. Especially if they're like a witch. And that's Chatila. So Krishna is very, very afraid of this ugly troll. Troll is an old English word, means witch. Kachari, witch, pishachi. Pishachi. She's all wrinkly and... So Krishna's very much afraid that he'll have to get caught and have to look at that Chatila. And this is a fate worse than death. So he's waiting there for Radharani. And some other times Krishna's waiting for Radharani in the Kunj at Radhakund. And he's so anxious for the blissful association of his Vilas Murti. And he said, it's Aparasa Sara Vilasa Murti. Radharani is the very form of Vilas. And Vilas itself, as a word, we can take it to mean pastimes. But Vilas also means a flourishing of emotions. And Vilas is something that arises. I believe it's one of Yavachari Bhavas, Sanchari Bhavas. It's called Vilas, which means a flourishing or outpouring of emotions that manifest in the lips, in the quivering of the lips or the movements of the head, in different positions of the body in relation to different emotional movements and feelings within the heart of the Nayaka, of the heroine, the Vilas. And Radharani is, every the way she moves and everything is Vilas. And Vilas, so it's Vilas, Vilas. So it's Vilas, the expressions and beautiful movements and expressions, the way Radharani, like if Radharani's in a kunj, for example, and she's leaving, she doesn't want to see Krishna. She goes to run out of the kunj, and then Krishna grabs her sari from the back and pulls it like that. Then she turns around like this, and with her head at a certain angle, and then she looks out of the side of her eyes, and then, you know, there's anger, and you know, there's many emotions mixed together. And the way she moves her hand and looks at him, that's called a vilas. It's a very, and then Krishna sees that. Oh. Just like in Dwarka, Krishna was teasing Rukmini because he wanted to see her face. He wanted to break the smile on her face because she had a 24/7 built-in smile. Rukmini was always smiling all the time. Oh, yes, Ru. Yes, Ru. Yes, Ru. Yes, Ru. Just like the false Shishya, yes Gurudev, yes Gurudev, yes Gurudev, yes Gurudev, yes Gurudev. This is the Kapat Shishya. Kapat Shishya. He's always saying, yes Gurudev, yes Gurudev. You say yes Gurudev, then you do whatever you want. This is a Kapat. It means cheating disciple. So she's not that way, but she's just always in bliss of, she's always experiencing the Sevanand, the bliss of serving her Pati. Her Pranapati, and Dwarkadish, Krishna. She's the first queen, the favorite queen of Krishna, Rukmini. She's in the prime position. And so she's always so nice and always so sweet and always so humble and always so tender and always so expert at everything she does. She never gets angry. She never argues. She never yells. She never screams. And consequently, because of that, Krishna often goes to see Satyabhama. Because Mahishi Satyabhama, she screams, she yells, she squinches up her face and makes funny faces when she's angry. And her eyes get red, really red, like fireballs. And then Krishna, oh, this is nice. We always like change. We don't like to see the same old, same old. If every day your wife wears the same blue dress, you'll say, excuse me, you know, please change your clothes. You know, it's a little too much. So variety is the mother of enjoyment. Prabhupada used to say, variety is the mother of enjoyment. Well, certainly at the origin of all variety is vichitra, vichitra vidagda radha, and vichitra vidagda radha, vichitra vidagda sham. They're the origin of unlimited variegated loving expressions and artistic talents and abilities and expressions. We have what we call the 64 kala, 64 arts. Well, they originate, they're self-manifest within Radharani, and she manifests them within her sakis. By her sweet will and her shakti, her yogamaya shakti, Radharani manifests all the 64 arts. Automatically, they're manifest, swaprakash, in Radharani. She's the origin of the 64 arts and more. And she manifests them in all of her sakis, her nitya sakis, her kayavyuha sakis. Then, when the sadhana siddha, when the sadhaka attains perfection, becomes sadhana siddha and enters Bhoma Vrindavan, then Radharani manifests these arts in the mandris by training them. She teaches them singing. And this Niyam, Sankalpa Niyam. And Stavavali, there's one prayer by Srila Raghunath Das Goswami Pad. And there he's offering prayers. Oh Lalita, when will I come? When will you teach me the art of singing? And then, oh Vishakha, when will you take me and teach me the art of joking? Because Vishakha is famous for joking. Narma, she's very expert joker. And so this is a very special. She'll teach the new Nava Manjari. the Navasaki or Navamandri, she'll teach them how to joke and tell nice jokes, riddles. Riddle, it's called Parihali. Praheli, I think it's called Praheli, means riddles. She'll teach the Mandri how to speak different riddles and how to make jokes. Because sometimes Radha and Krishna's feelings get a little strained, and Radharani's not even speaking to Krishna or even looking at him, and despite his eagerness and all his attempts to break her man, and then Radharani is fixed in her man. She's immovable like the Himalayas. She won't glance at Krishna. She won't talk to him. She doesn't want to pay any attention. And Krishna is beside himself with frustration and sadness. And he glances towards Tulsi Mandri or Rati or any Mandri, Rupa Mandri, and says, please. And his eyes are telling, please. His eyes are begging. Because eyes can beg, eyes can curse, eyes can love, eyes can do so many things. Eyes know millions of words. And they're all the words in the eyes are the feelings in the heart. So then Radharani glances at her Mandri, and with her eyes she's telling, Krishna glances at his Mandri, because they're also his Mandris, because everyone is his. So he's the supreme enjoyer of the Mandris, occasionally, or at least partially, reluctantly, sometimes willfully, if that's the will of Radharani. Then they secede and follow suit. But Krishna glances towards the Mandri and says, and he's in his eyes he's begging, please, can't you do something? Can't you do, please, Mandri, please help me, do something to break Radharani's man. So then the Mandri says, all right, now's the time for my Hasya Brahmastra. Now's the time for my Hasya Brahmastra. You know Brahmastra? Brahmastra weapon is like atomic bomb that they have on Kurukshetra. So there's a Hasita Brahmastra. That's the type of joke that when someone tells that joke, you fall on the ground holding your ribs, holding your sides. You know, it's a belly breaker, whatever they call it. You know, my belly's busting. You're just laughing your teeth out. It's so funny. So the Mandri's thinking, I have to use my Hasitam Brahmastra, that ultimate joke that Radharani taught me. Now's the time. Now she's going to use the weapon, the joke that Radharani taught her. Now she said, now is the time to detonate that bomb. So then the Mandri comes in and says, well, Shyam, you know, this and that and this and that. And then Radharani starts laughing because it's her joke. No one laughs at a joke more than the person that says it. Sometimes no one else laughs. And an example of that is my own Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada. He used to tell so many jokes, and his disciples would sit there because he wouldn't understand it, because they were jokes based on Indian culture, jokes based on culture in general. And he gave a story of Akbar and his servant, Gopal Ban, or somebody, whatever. There's some servant named Gopal Ban, a minister. So Akbar, whoever, Gopal Ban was a Brahmin minister, advisor. So then Akbar, whoever, he got a new house, and he wanted to show. So Gopal Ban went there to take a tour of his house. He said, this is this room, that room, dining room, and assembly room, and theater, and entertainment room, and sleeping quarters, the queen's quarters, and the king's quarters, servants' quarters, etc. He's taking a tour of the new palace. So then all of a sudden Gopal Ban said, no. You know, like this. But not number one, number two. So he said, I have to pass. I have to pass very bad. And can I use your bathroom? Because he didn't show in the bathroom. Of course, there's a bathroom. And then Akbar said, no, you know, this house is, no, we have to do Griha Pravesh and so many pujas, yagis. You can't contaminate the house. He said, no, it's very, you know, it's the other way around. It was Gopal Ban's house. It was the minister's house, Gopal Ban, and he was inviting his boss. His boss was coming to visit his house, the minister's house, the king or whomever. So then the king said, I have to use your bathroom. I have to pass stool. Please let me use your bathroom. And Gopal Bhan said, no, I have to, I'm a Hindu, you know, I have to have a Vedic installation ceremony, Griha Pravesh, and do Yajna and Vastu Puja and many things before we can enter this house. You can't do any contaminate this house. And he said, you have to go outside to the field. And he said, I can't go outside, I'm the king. I'm the king, I can't just walk out. He said, no, you can't. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'll make you a deal. You can use my bathroom, and you can go there if you promise me one thing, that you won't pass a drop of urine. So then Prabhupada told this joke, and he was laughing, ha, ha, ha. And we were all like you. Paisa means urine. So the fact is, in case you don't know, that whenever you pass stool, you also must pass urine. So Gopal Bhatt, this is the joke, Prabhupada told it, and everyone was like you, like, huh? And we thought we were pretty smart, we're all Americans, and we told a joke to his American disciples in the beginning. And Prabhupada was laughing, ah, ha, ha. And he said, you understand? And he said, Prabhupada, no. So then he explained, and then like 10 minutes later, ah, ha, ha, the devotees started laughing, because, Gopal Bhatt, he faked them out, you know, he outwitted the king. And the king said, well, that's impossible. It's impossible. And then he said, therefore, then go out to the fields. And then he said, how do I do that? He said, look, I'll come and I'll bring an umbrella. So Gopal Bhan took an umbrella, and they went out in the fields, and he covered the king with an umbrella so no one could see, because the king is supposed to be Naradeva. The king is referred to in Veda Shastra as Naradeva. The Brahmin is called Bhudeva. Bhudeva means the god of earth, and Nara means man. The word Nara, Narahari, half man, half lion. So the Naradev is the king. And the Bhudeva, the whole earth belongs to God, but he's given it to the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas engage the whole earth and everyone on it, and Yajna, for the pleasure of the Devas and the Paradeva to Lord Vishnu. So Bhudeva and Naradeva. So the Naradeva is supposed to be somewhat divine and godly. He always rides in a palanquin. You don't see the king of Puri coming for Rath Yatra, walking down the street in his Reeboks. He has them, and he wears them. But he doesn't come out of his little temporary summer house. It's actually a big house and palaces in Bhuvaneshwar, in the capital. It's just like a summer house on the beach, the king's palace, and he comes here basically only for Rath Yatra, and the rest of the time he's in Bhuvaneshwar. Or traveling, he's the king, doing his functions. So he goes in a palanquin. The palanquin I saw. The palanquin goes in the house, and it's all elaborate silver. It's all the handles are covered with silver, and there's lions on the end of it. It's really long. I think maybe see on TV. In the middle, there's a little canopy and covered area, so no one should even see the king until he gets to where he has to get. But they can see him, but he doesn't walk on the ground. The king doesn't touch the ground. Even in Jayapur, when you visit the palace, it's there, the city palace, and the Radha Braja Nidhi. There's one temple there in the city palace of Jayapur complex called Braja Nidhi. And Braja Nidhi, of course, is that was the queen's deity of Radha and Krishna, Radha Braja Nidhi. So she had her Thakurji, and her king had Radha Govinda. Now, when the Rani wanted to go to her temple to see her Thakurji, Radha Braja Nidhi, you can take darshan also today, the deities are huge. 5 feet tall. When you go in the city palace to visit there, when you go to Govindaji, when you have to go in left, right, all this inside there, the complex, it's there on the left-hand side. People don't know, but very beautiful. That was the queen. So there were so many buildings, so many different buildings and servants' quarters and temple and pujari's quarters, and finally way in the back, there's the king's quarters, then the garden house, then the garden, the king's quarters, his bedroom, then the garden, then the garden house. The garden house in the middle of the garden got turned into the temple for Govindaji. That was his garden house, if you know anything about Govindaji. And it's still the same garden house. It's even shaped kind of like that. There's just big arches, and you walk in. They didn't do much to it. All they did was put some walls in the back to put the deities there. It was a room with domes. It was all open on all sides and let the fresh air and flowers, and you just sit there and chit-chat and all gardens everywhere. So they just put a couple walls. There was no walls. It was just rooftop and columns everywhere. It's like that now when you walk in. There's just columns, in which we call the darshan area. But they just put a few walls in the back so that no one could, you know, they have some privacy. But that's all they've done since 500 years. Do you know that? It's not a special temple that was built. It's just like, oh, Radha and Krishna are coming to my house. Okay, we have this guest room. Let's, you know, take out the bed. And, you know, they can stay there. So Radha Govinda came from Vrindavan. This is a fact, you can see. And they went to the garden house. Anyway, they seem pretty happy there. They haven't come back. So now the king, when he opens his first floor balcony and he puts open the door, he has a big veranda and he looks straight. He gets straight darshan. Straight he can see Radha Govinda. From his, he just takes his glasses and darshan. Dhanavad. Now his wife wants to go to Brajanidhi temple, so she's not going to come on down on the ground, even in a palanquin. So the king designed on the rooftops, you can see it, I've seen it, he connected all the rooftops, because here's one building, here's another building. So he made a bridge up two stories, three stories. There's a bridge from one building to another. And then all the buildings are connected, and it goes to the roof, and then there's the stairs that goes down right to the Didi room. The stairs goes down from the roof above the Didi room, there's the stairs, and it goes down. And she would take darshan and do puja, whatever she wanted to do. I don't think she had pujaris, obviously Brahmins. She would take her darshan and go up the stairs. Then he built a little rath cart for her with a canopy around it. And it was wooden wheels, you know, because there was no, there wasn't any wide oval tires then. No rubber tires. It has wooden wheels and it was all fancy, all gold and everything. And then a canopy on it. And then the servants would push it. Like, almost looks like a baby stroller, perambulator, you know, they call it perambulator, where you put the baby in, there's a handle like this, and you push, and there's wheels, handle goes up like that, and the baby's low. That's what it was. She would sit there like this, and they go, really? She'd hurry up, I gotta get Darshan's arti, and and the servants would run, and it's from her palace, to the king's palace, over to Brajanidhi. It's about, I don't know, 300, 400 meters or so, across the rooftops. And it was all smooth road. I've seen it. I was up there because at one time ISKCON was going to get that temple, another Brajanidhi. So someone said, "You're Nidhi, so you should see." They took me there and they took me upstairs and told me all the stories. And I went, "Oh, great." So this is Krishna. He's back to Krishna. He's very anxious for the blissful association of his Vilasmurti Radhika. So he's so anxious that he's going repeatedly in and out of the kunja, eagerly looking down the footpath for Radha. Krishna is so full of eagerness, it's called utkantita bhav, that his heart is bursting with anticipation. It makes Shyam imagine, he starts in his imagination, because when you're eager for something, you think you've got it or think it's almost there. Oh, are we there yet? You're in the plane or something. When are we going to be there? We've been flying for so long. Aren't we landing yet? Or you're eager to, you want to get out and get in the car and come to Vrindavan. And so full of utkantita bhava, his heart was bursting with anticipation. And he was imagining that the sound of each dried leaf falling from the trees was the sound of Radha's ankle bells, announcing her auspicious arrival in the Keli Kunj. Although Govinda is truth personified, satyam, sarupam, he sometimes acts in a tricky way, dressing himself in different disguises. So Krishna is... He's satyam, param satyam nadimahi. In the first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, says, janmadyasya yatara itaratesh bhigasura, says, param satyam nadimahi. Param satyam chadimahi. Of course, this dimahi is part of the Brahma Gayatri. This vidmahi and dimahi. And like this, so dimahi means deeply meditate. So this whole book is going to be a deep meditation and a deep revelation about the parasatyam, the param satyam, param satyam chadimahi. So fix your mind on janman yasya yataha, that person who is the source of everything, the origin, the janma. He's the origin of everything, and he's the supreme truth. So he's the supreme truth. We say God is the absolute truth. He's the absolute truth, and why is he cheating? Why is he lying? Why is he stealing? He cheats, he lies, he steals. And still he's the absolute truth? Yeah, when he steals, it's absolute. When he steals, it's absolute stealing. And when he lies, it's absolute lying, not relative lying. We lie relatively, and we get caught. A Christian lies absolutely, and he never gets caught. And even if he lies, it's true. And even if he cheats, it's honesty. Right? Even if he steals, he's actually giving. How is that? How does someone come and rob your house and steal all your money and give you something? So yeah, he gave me something. A big debt and a big headache and a big loss. You gave me a big loss. You took all my money. No. When Krishna steals the butter of the gopis, he gives him his full love in exchange. When Krishna steals the hearts of the gopis and the yogis and everybody, he's Manohar, Chittahari, Manohar, Krishna. When he steals the hearts of the devas and the demigods and everyone, what does he give them in return? He gives his heart. I'll steal yours and give you mine. Your heart isn't very good. I'll take it. I'll give you mine. Mine's very good. God is all good. Is our heart good? Is all goodness inside our hearts? Maybe not. Maybe some greed. Maybe some envy. Maybe some lust. Maybe some anger. Something. Kincha. Little. Kamsakam. Itna crowed. Itna calm. Itna. Who, me? Angry? Who, me? Angry? Who, me? Lusty? Nah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. So Krishna's heart is beautiful, sweet, charming, pure. Om Purnamadam, Purnamidam. Complete. So if we give anything, something to Krishna, and if we don't give, then he'll steal. If you don't willfully give, then he'll steal. The gopis didn't come every morning knocking on the door. Hey, Yashoda, wake up, Nandadala. I have a big pot of dahi, big pot of yogurt for him. There's no description of that. Krishna had to steal it in very clever ways and sneaky ways. So then Krishna, although he's the absolute truth, he disguises himself. Sometimes he dresses as a yogi. Sometimes he dresses as a tax collector. Sometimes as a barber girl, you know, a hairdresser, what we say hairdresser now. He dresses as a female barber, and he comes to Barsana all dressed up in a sari with little bag, and he's got some scissors and, you know, trimmers and all different kind of things, you know, for the hair oil and also manicure, pedicure, a whole deal, a whole, you know, beauty parlor in a box. So then he knocks on the door and says, My name is Keshani. My name is Keshani Saki, and I'm very good at hair care and cutting hair and everything, because Kesh means hair. So my name is Keshani Saki. See, anyone needs a haircut, or anyone needs. So well, I don't know. We're all servants of Radharani. Let's ask our Ishwari. So they say, oh Ishwari. There's some barber girl here. She says she's from Mathura. She has a beauty parlor there, and she's just trying to get some business here in Barsana. And so, and if you want your hair cut or shampooed or anything like that, she knows many different styles. In the big city, they have all kinds of crazy styles for the hair, and so maybe you can get some special style over there from him or her. Who is that? I know some barbers from Mathura. What's her name? Her name is Keshani. Keshani? Keshani? I heard of Keshi demon, but I heard of Keshava. Krishna Keshava. Keshani. Oh, well, that's an appropriate name for a barber girl. So then Radharani says, all right, how much she charged? Well, she says she does for free. She says, we asked her how much it costs, you know, for shampoo and cut, you know. And she said that, she said that you see my work, and then after my work is done, and if you like it, then you can give me something appropriate. So he said, all right. So Krishna dresses as a barber girl, and he cuts, he doesn't cut any hair, but he cuts lots of jokes. And when he's in Radharani's private quarters, he doesn't cut any hair, he cuts lots of jokes, and it ends up just what happens somehow or other by the arrangement of Yoga Maya. In Radharani's bedroom, while all these sakis and mantris are there, After some time, there's just one Radharani there. All the Sakis and Manjaris have different sevas, and they leave. And just Radharani's left all alone with this barber girl from Mathura named Keshini. And somehow, after some time, Radharani discovered that Keshini, the barber girl, Sakhi from Mathura, is not Keshini, but Keshav, Krishna Keshav. And then they had their pastimes. So Krishna disguises as a barber girl, a snake charmer, a tantric. Sometimes Radharani gets bitten by the snake of separation. And then Krishna disguises himself as a tantri, you know, with Rudraksha's beads around her neck and all kinds of, you know, big bone in the ear and stuff. And says, I know tantra and mantra. Tantra visharad. I can see the future and I can cure anyone gets bitten by a snake. I know the mantras. And so then they say, all right. Radharani's lying here. She can't move. Doesn't seem conscious. Maybe you can do something. So then that whole pastime is there in Chamatkara Chandrika by Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur. Chamatkara Chandrika. Vishnath Chakravarti has a whole pastime where Krishna disguises himself as the Tantrini, so female doctor also. So although Krishna is all-knowing, he sometimes becomes bewildered. We say that Krishna is Sarvagya, and Veda Puran describes Krishna as Sarvagya. Gya, knowledge, no, sarva, all. He's sarvagya vimugda. This is called paradox. Paradox, where I'm very rich. I'm very rich and also poor. Wait a minute. I'm very ugly and I'm also very handsome. So it's like, wait a minute, either you're handsome or you're ugly. This is a duality, a world of dualities. You can't be filthy rich and just filthy. poor. Dirt poor. You're filthy rich or you're dirt poor. So either way, there's a lot of dirt there. So you're filthy rich or dirt poor. These are phrases. So you can't be one. You have to take your place. Yeah, are you married? No. Are you a brahmachari? No. Sure. There's a lot of people like that, actually. Are you grihastha? No. Are you brahmachari? Well, not really. Well, then what is this, some new ashram, a fifth ashram? So I'm leaning mostly this way, but a little bit that way. So that this Krishna is like this. He's vimugda. Sometimes he's bewildered. By whom? Only by Radharani. So he sometimes when he goes into, there's a kunja at Radhakund of, I believe it's Rangadevi. And that kunj of Rangadevi, everything is golden in color. Everything, the ground is golden, the trees are golden, the flowers are golden, everything is sonarang, golden color. And the gopis are all golden. And so Krishna, when they say, Krishna says, where's Radharani? What kunja? Oh, she's in Rangadevi's kunj. And Radhakund, she's waiting for you. Now, one feature of Rangadevi's kunj is she has so many statues there in her kunj of all devis, but they're all solid, made of solid gold. And so Radharani is actually sitting on one vedi in the corner, and she's also Taptakanchana Gaurangi. She's Gaurangi. Every limb is golden and shiny and effulgent and beautiful, sweet, charming, and attractive. And she's just sitting there waiting eagerly and anticipating Shyam's arrival. So Shyam is so excited. She's here, and he runs into the kunj and he looks around. And everywhere he sees Radharani. There's all these golden statues, and this is his Vibram, Vimugda. He knows everything. He should know. This is a golden statue, and this is the Murti of Prem. This is your Vilas Murti. Murti means statue. There's a carved, sculpted statue or murti, Sona Murti, of some beautiful lady or devi. And then there's Radharani, who is carved by Krishna himself. She's the Mahabhava Vilas Murti. Mahabhava Vilas Murti Radharani. And he's carved that, created Radharani. He's Ladini Shakti personified. But he knows everything. Sravagya. But then he enters Rangadevi's kunj. He becomes bewildered. Vimugdha. Sarvagya Vimugdha. Becomes Bibram because of Prem. And he says, Radha, 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 Radha. Then he's thinking, then he uses his discriminatory powers, his intelligence. He's very intelligent. And then he says, this is Radharani. And he runs to one statue, Radharani, and embraces and kisses. And Radharani's just nearby, 5 feet to the side. And she says, this is very funny. I'm here, and he's embracing this golden sculpture, this statue. I'm the Vilas Murti. I'm the Mahabhava Vilas Murti. But how bewildered he is due to love. Because when you're in love, you're a little crazy. And it's told like that. Because when one falls in love, there's five symptoms that happen that are described. First one is Samohan. Samohan. Five effects of Kandarp, mundane god of love. First is Samohan. He has his Sara, his Shara, his five arrows. Rupam. His Rupam and Ganda and Shabda and Sparsha and Rasa. This form and smell and taste and touch. This is the effect of Kandarpa. He pulverizes our senses and blasts our senses with intense attraction, burning attraction and attachment. So the first thing is Sammohan. We become completely bewildered by and fascinated by the form of another person. Sammohan. Then what happens next? Sammohan. Mohan means, Madan Mohan means bewildered, confused, enchanted. The next thing is, and Sam means sound completely. Next thing is Stamba. Stamba means stunned. It's one of the astrasattvic bhavs. Ashru, vepatu, vepatu ashru, romancha, kampa, and stamba, being stunned. Being stunned. So then when one's stunned and he forgets everything else. He forgets his job, maybe he forgets that he's married and has two kids because he fell in love with the girl at the club. Happens, unfortunately. It's a dharmic, but these things go on. This is Stamba. And then he becomes stunned, and he forgets. Then the third one is Unmadani. He starts acting very foolishly as if he's intoxicated. Unmadani. Mada means intoxication. So Unmadani means Uttam Mada. He's very intoxicated, acting crazy. So he's acting crazy on Madani. And then Shoshan. Shoshan means that you become intensely, madly, deeply, fully attracted to another person. I have to have that person. I must meet that person. I must have that person. I must enjoy that person. I must be with that person. Shoshan. And then the final one is Tapana. Like we say, tapasya. Tapasya means fire, heat. So tap, the word tap means burning, fire. So tapa means your heart starts burning. Your brain and your hearts and your senses start burning with lusty desires. You understand? So then you need some water real fast to put out the fire. So these are the five effects of Cupid. So here is Krishna, he's Unmadani. He's totally bewildered. He's acting like crazy. He's running around embracing every golden statue and kissing it. Radharani is saying, there's 108 statues here, and I'm Krishna's Vilasmurti, and he's Apararasasar. He's the Apararasasara Vilasmurti, Apara, unlimited rasas. And she's amazed. Radharani's amazed how much vibram and bewildered Krishna is by my love. I'm right in front of him, and he can't perceive me. So this is, he mistakes a golden statue for Radharani. So the Upanishads describe God as Ananda Brahma Rupa, Ananda Brahma Rupam. God is bliss. Brahma is Ananda Rupam. Brahma means, like Para Brahman means God. And in the Brahma Stuti, in the 10th canto, chapter 14, verse 32, Brahma says that Sri Krishna is the pinnacle of transcendental bliss, Paramanandam. Paramanandam, because we're discussing this word, Anandakanda Paramadbhuta. Anandakanda Paramadbhuta Somya Lakshmi. So each verse, each pada, each line of the verse has two aspects, the Krishna side and the Radha side. And then each line can be taken also to mean Radha. So now we're discussing the Krishna side, because the book is all about the glories of Radharani. So the angle of vision is Radharani's supremacy and Krishna's subservience. Krishna is a servant of Radharani, and we're a servant of Radharani. And then Radharani is a servant of Krishna. So it goes full circle. Das, das, dasam. Because if you take this concept, das or dasi, 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 eventually you get back to the first first one. Dasi, dasi, this is the Ras Mandal. The Ras Mandal is dasi, 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 dasi. And then it goes like a, you know, circle, like water. If you have a, it always goes in clockwise. If you have a drain, your water will go around like this. So Krishna's in the center, and then from the center, it's concentric circles are going like this and like this. I don't know if it's concentric, but they're going around like this. Each circle is a circle of gopis, and they're going around the center, and the center point is Krishna. Ekale Ishvara Krishna Arasabhya Britya. The center point is Krishna. He's the recipient of all the service. He's the Prem Vishay. Bivavalamban Prem Vishay, and every other Sakhi, and every other Jiva, and every other associate of Krishna is Vibhav Alamban Prem Ashray. They are the shelter of love and the shelter of Seva, and they're offering their love and they're offering their Seva to Krishna, who receives it all. He's the object of Seva. So this is the idea that Krishna is this Anandakanda, but without the association of his Vilas Murti Sri Radha, that Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Sri Krishna is Nirananda. He's devoid of all bliss, unhappy and dejected. So Radharani is the Vilas Murti, we described that. And the first line ends with Vilas Murti, and the second line begins with Ananda Kanda Paramadbhuta Bhagavan. Parama. So Radharani is the Vilas Murti for the Ananda Kanda Bhagavan. But he says that he himself was supposed to be blissful. He's supposed to be Paramananda Brahman. Yeah, he's blissful, but not as blissful as he is by himself, as he is when he's with Radharani, because she's a Vilas Murti. So then, but without the association, then he's Nirananda. Srila Prabhupada used to describe the jivas like that. He says the jivas, achit, asat, the jiva is Satchitananda. But the conditioned soul in this material body, our experience is asat, achit, and niranand. Niranand, there's no bliss. Anand means bliss. And achit means we have no knowledge, we're foolish, we have to learn. Asat, and we're temporary, we're born and we die. Body is temporary. But this is the nature of the body, the physical body. So we'll stop there. There's some time for questions. Tomorrow we'll discuss Somya Lakshmi and Brahmadi Durgama Gatir. So this is part two of Radha's Seva Forever, June 20th, 2015. Hopefully the rainy season will come, and then we'll change the venue to the veranda or some room upstairs. There's a lot of rooms around here, but they're all hot. Hot and wet, and this is cool and wet. So I had to make a choice. Do you want to be in a hot room with a fan blowing hot air on your head and sweating like anything? Or do you want to be in a cool room with cool air on your head and sweating like anything? And when you walk upstairs and it's so dry, wow. Then 5 minutes later, oh, everything's coming out. This is tapasya. This is a Braj. Braj is known as Siddhastali, and Mayapur Navadvipdham is known as Sadhanastali. It's very comfortable because there's no six seasons. There's six seasons in this part of the world. In the whole world, you will not find six seasons. Even in all of India, you only find six seasons in UP, Haryana, this kind of mandal, Ayodhya, this kind of UP, you'll find six seasons with six distinct types of all this. Why is there six seasons? Because there's six flavors that Krishna, of food that Krishna likes to enjoy. So all the Bhagavan, the actual very personal forms of Bhagavan, Krishna and Ram, etc., they're born, they appear here. And they, the Madhurya Purushottam, the Maryada Purushottam, because here, because if you go to Bengal, there's only two seasons, winter and summer, basically, or three. So you can't get some, you can't get potatoes, you can't get ginger, you can't get turmeric. So many things are growing in this area, and it's all for the service. God made it that way. If I have a garden behind my house, what kind of vegetables will I grow there? The ones that I like. If I have a fruit orchard in my estate, what kind of trees will I plant there? Mangoes. You're not going to plant, you know, pear trees from Russia. Apples. I mean, apples are also good. But maybe you plant apples because you get mangoes here anyway. So, like that. So you plant the things you want. So Krishna, this is his area. So he planted all the crops. There's hundreds and hundreds of root vegetables and underground things and on the surface and fruits that you'll find in this part of India that you won't find anywhere else in India or any, what to speak of the world. It's an amazing place. So this is the place to worship Krishna. Any questions? This verse is going a little slow, but that's okay. It's like a murti made of burfi. Arms are made of burfi, the fingers are made of burfi. And like they have in the West, they have these holidays where they make chocolate rabbits. They make a rabbit shaped like, they make it out of chocolate, they make a rabbit. In fact, when you read Govinda Lilamrita about Krishna's breakfast, when it describes what sweets and that the manjris and sakis make for Krishna's breakfast, they make sweets in shape of trees. They have, it's red, it's in Govinda Lilamrita. Some sweets are the color, they use food coloring, whatever. They make sweets that look like trees. They take some sandesh, make it look like an orange, like a watermelon. Like in some of these fancy sweet shops in Delhi, they make a sweet that looks like a little watermelon, looks like a little round watermelon with a clove on the top. I've seen in some of these fancy sweet shops. It looks like a tarbuj. Is it tarbuj? You've seen. And then it has a little long. Long means clove. Long is stuck in the top. It's like that's the stem of the watermelon. And it's a piece of burfi with food coloring and whatnot. So the gopis themselves, manjris, are doing that. Yes. Yeah, even especially Dandavat Parikrama.
Yeah.
It's very popular.
Because you know, it's like a rule. You need to finish Parikrama. You cannot, you know, make half of Parikrama. But for these people, I think it's need so long time. How they can complete this Parikrama?
Which one? Govardhan.
Yeah,
Govardhan. The question is not exactly on the Rasa Tattva or the content of the lecture, but because it is Purushottam month and it is a unique special month, it's called Adik. Adika means extra, like Radha Sneha Adik. The manjris have extra, more affection for Radha. They have full love for Krishna and full love plus little extra for Radharani. And that extra is a big amount. Radha Sneha Adik. So this month, someone's asking a question that it seems, I don't know, I haven't read, but what I've observed in my 28 years in Vrindavan is that quite a few Purushottams have come and gone. And people everywhere from all over India, they come to do Dandavat Parikrama, especially of Govardhan. And the question is, how do they do it? Because the rule is you have to finish what you're doing to get benefit. If you make a cake halfway, you mix up all the cake and everything's ready, but you don't put it in the oven, then you know, you won't get a cake. So you have to put it in the oven and do everything step by step. So the same thing with, well, it's not exactly the same, because devotion, Nehabi krama nasrusti pratyavanavidite swapamapyasya dharmasya trayate mahatobayat. There is a verse in Bhagavad Gita that says nehabi krama. Krama, nehabi krama. Krama means steps, trivikram. And he said, Alpa, even if you do take a few steps or little steps, anything you do in bhakti, you get eternal benefit for. Nitya art, eternal benefit. So the question is, because generally it's told, and I've heard where it is told, is in a book by Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who was initially a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and then later he took from someone in Nimark Sampradaya, I believe. But he wrote a book called Braj Bhakti Vilas. In Braj Bhakti Vilas, he researched all kinds of Puranas. It's an anthology from all different Puranas, ancient scriptures. And he compiled all rules and regulations and what to do, what kind of dan to give in each forest of Vrindavan, when to do Braj Mandal Parikrama. Trasi Kosh Parikrama should be done in Bhadramas and should start in a particular day and end in a particular day. In Gaudiyas, we are on Ragmarg, so in Gaudiyas and Nimbarkis and others may be following Ragmarg or not so strict on that point. So they have their Braj Mandal Parikramas in Kartik, because any time you go, it's always good. But strictly according to Shastra and Puran and the Smritis of Puran, then this Parikrama, Braj Mandal Parikrama, should be done in Bhadra Mas, which is Krishna's birthday time, in a particular time period. So when you go to each forest, he tells what kind of dan you should give. Given this forest, Chandi, you give silver here, you give gold here, you give cloth here, you do feeding here, and all these things from Puranas. And Kokilavan, you do this, and Bhadravan, you do this, and Bailavan. So there he also has rules for Parikrama. He says if you're doing, because he talks a lot about Braj, because it says Braj Bhakti Vilas. So when you're doing Braj Mandal Trasi Kosh Parikrama, if you don't finish in this Bhadramas, then next year you come back and start wherever you left off and finish. So I suppose, and there may be something about it, but I've heard that if you do half the Govardhan Parikrama Dandabhat and this Purushottam, then 3 years from now you do the next half and finish it. And then once it's completed, you get the full benefit. I mean, you're getting benefit for every step in Braj, for every breath in Braj, for every glance in Braj, for every smell, every time you smell, everything you hear in Braj, everything you do in Braj, you're getting benefit for. So this is, you know, the fact of living here. So much power is in this place. So don't get under anything you do. But that's what people do. And as far as facts are, it only takes about 60 hours. It takes 60 hours to do Dandabhat Parikrama of Govardhan. So usually people, they start, usually you'll see there's some now, but wait till Shukla Paksha. Because generally, that's why they're even working on the Parikramarg. If you've seen, I saw they're bringing in dirt and they're leveling the Govardhan Parikramarg and kind of fixing it up, the government. Because the primary time for this Dandabhat Parikrama is Shukla Paksha, which means, well, now it's kind of upset, but you know, like that. But what it means is from the, now it's Shukla time. It is Shukla time, but it's reversed because it's Purushottam. But the second half of Purushottam will be more people. Now it started Ekam and it's going to Purnima. So from Purnima to Amavasya, because it's opposite Nadikma, it will be hundreds and thousands of people doing Dandabhat. Like that many, many. That's the Shastric time to do it. And so it's 60 hours. So they have 2 weeks. Basically, they I have 2 weeks and I have 60 hours. 60, 70, depends on how fat you are. But roughly, they say it's about 60 to 80 hours.